Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would navigate to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this morning we're going to look at just the first two verses. Just Peter's opening greetings to the church that he was writing to, the Christians he was writing to. And we find ourselves facing a crisis that has the world in its grip. And it's a disease that has people afraid and has people feeling very much alone as we find ourselves isolated. You know, we're staying inside trying to avoid getting sick, trying to avoid getting other people sick. But, you know, we're not the first people to face something like this. There have been viruses and there have been plagues that have swept through the world before with terrible, terrible outcomes. In fact, there have been other kinds of crises that have affected people similarly. And what I want to do this morning is just take you back to a time 2,000 years ago when the very first Christians were under heavy pressure and opposition because of their beliefs, our beliefs, and because of the new way of life they had entered into as disciples of Jesus. The pressure they were facing was tremendous. And it was driving them out of their jobs and out of their homes and away from their families and away from their friends, away from one another. In other words, they were being scattered like a handful of dust tossed to the wind, blown away, dispersed from one another. And in the midst of that pressure and that dispersion, that scattering, the Apostle Peter, out of concern for fellow believers in that crisis, he wrote them a letter. Words to encourage them, words to strengthen them as they find themselves in those conditions. And he begins by telling them that even though you feel alone and afraid, remember who you are to God. So I want to show you from Peter's opening words three ways he encourages us from those first words of his letter. So just three ideas today to encourage you. And the first one is this, that we're scattered but not forgotten. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter begins by saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In other words, to those who've been scattered to the four winds. That's really a great way of describing us as a church right now. Instead of being able to gather together, we've been scattered. Exiled in our homes, unable to come together as a church for a season. But even though we can't be together in person, even this morning, and even though we can't see each other's faces, I want you to know that not one of us is overlooked by our Heavenly Father. Notice what Peter calls us. I love the way he addresses believers. He says, we're elect exiles. That's a rich and meaningful word, elect exiles. It's the idea of being chosen, handpicked by God for special favor. And really what it means is not one is missing. Not one is forgotten. In fact, look further down in verse 2, the beginning of verse 2, he says, we're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In other words, God has His eye on each one of us. And He's had His eye on us since before the world began. You were on God's mind before He made the world. And nothing we're facing right now changes that one bit. Isn't that good? We're on His mind, we're in His sight, and we're in His hands. that is a strong comfort and hope to my heart. It gives us strength to stay stable and to stay sane through this crisis. And we need to be stable and sane through this crisis. And really, Christians are the ones who are able to do that because of our hope, because of our Father, because we're in God's hands. And so though we may be scattered right now, isolated from one another in our homes, not one of us is out of God's sight. Not one of us. Not one of us is being ignored. Not one of us is forgotten. As God's chosen children, we're loved and we're being watched very closely by our ever mindful Father. Jesus said something really powerful and simple in Matthew 10 when he said, "His eye is on the sparrow." That's the way the hymn worded it. His eye is on the sparrow. And so I know he's watching me and he's watching you. And what a comfort to know that nothing that's going on in this worldwide crisis and nothing that's going on with you and with me is going unnoticed by our Father. We may be scattered, but we're not forgotten. Not one sparrow, Jesus says, can fall to the ground and die without God's sovereign permission. And you and I are of far more value than many sparrows. That's who we are to God's heart. In fact, he says, even the hairs of our head are counted and numbered. So what that means is that God's not only watching, he's watching us closely. He's fully alert to our condition and to our needs. He's fully aware of everything we need right now, not only physically, but also emotionally and spiritually and financially. He's fully aware of what we need. And he's active. He's working for our good, even in the bad. He promised that he would be. And so since that's the truth, and it is the truth, since that's the truth, that God is active, he's working for our good, let yourself rest in God's mindful care for you. But God is not only working for our good, but he's also working in us for good. And that's the second idea I want you to see what Peter mentions. He says, number two, we're being shaped for a God-pleasing life. In verse 2, Peter says that we have been chosen in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. So God is not only watching over us, He's working in us through this. And He's using this crisis to work in us. Make no mistake, God is working through the hardships of this. The inconvenience that we feel, the frustrations, the added pressures that we feel pressing on us. He's working through the isolation. He's working even through the worry and the fear. And in some ways, it's all coming together to bring out the best in us. I mean, many of us were pivoting in many ways and responding in wonderful ways to this crisis. But in other ways, all of this is bringing out the worst in us also. And Peter, he's telling us as scared, scattered people to realize that in spite of what's happening to us, know that God is still working in us. In fact, Ephesians 2, verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship. We're His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here's the question that I want to ask, and what I've been asking myself. What is God doing in me through all of this? And I want to ask you that. What is God doing in you through all of this? Well, I can tell you that He is making us into what we are meant to be. We are meant to be just like Him. That's what He's doing, making us more like Him. Now, I want you to think for a minute how Jesus, the Son of God, was isolated and alone when He died. You know, all His friends had scattered from Him when they thought that they might get infected with His blame. They left. And then dying on the cross, hanging there bleeding, with all our sins and sorrows on Him. He was totally abandoned and isolated, even from God. And I want you to never forget, He endured that willingly. Willingly, He chose this. That broken, bleeding man did all that to wash away the sins that would isolate us from God forever. And He did it to bring us into the face-to-face presence of God forever. And let me ask you, if God loves us so much that He was willing to sacrifice His own Son like that for us, do you think God would ever give up on us or abandon us back to our sin slavery when He had done all of that to set us free? No way. No way. And God has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep us obedient to Him through the sacrifice of Jesus. He's determined to do this. So He's right here with us. He's walking with us through this mess we're in. And He is personally escorting us out of sin and into what is good. That's what He's doing. Listen, with all that's going on in the world right now, and everything that's got your attention in the news, what's God trying to bring to your attention? I want to invite you to ask yourself a question. And it's this. What is God intending to do in me through all of this to make me more like Him? What's God intending to do in me through all of this to make me more like Him? So how is God working to sanctify you and grow you spiritually through this? I mean, is he challenging your fear and deepening your trust in Him? Is He revealing maybe some sinful motives that you have or some sinful tendencies that you need to bring before Him for cleansing? And maybe this entire crisis is revealing some sinful reactions or sinful habits or patterns that have really come to the surface. Or are there spiritual disciplines like reading the Scriptures and prayer and encouraging others and worship through this? Are there some spiritual disciplines that maybe you need to make a fresh start at practicing, and now you've got the time to start building that habit? Or is your love growing through this, or are you becoming more irritable and grumpy? What's God doing in you right now through all of this? Because God is determined to work deeply in us. He is willing and He is working in us what will give Him the most pleasure in our lives. And let's ask God to make that our desire too, that we would live well-pleasing in His sight. Now let me give you a third piece of encouragement from Peter's opening words, and it's this, that we're being given special grace for this trial. We're being given special grace for this trial. Listen, we're not in control of what's happening. I mean, it's unsettling, so unsettling to feel out of control. But, you know, God hasn't lost control. None of this is spinning out of control for God. He's in total control. Total control of what's happening. And he's in total control of taking care of us. In fact, God is offering us special supplies of grace and peace to handle these special circumstances we find ourselves in. Look at what he says at the end of verse 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, the very end. He says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you." Now, what Peter's saying there, he's praying a prayer. Those are words of a prayer. May God give grace and peace to you in a multiplied way. He's praying a prayer for God to give us those two things. For God to give us grace to endure this trial, and along with it, the peace that passes understanding. The peace, really, the peace that settles us down. The peace that gives us calm in the storm. And see, Peter knows that God is for us. He didn't write those words, but he believed those words. Paul wrote the words, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And Peter knows that. God is for us. He's on our side. And he knows that we definitely need grace and peace for what we're facing. He knew that the Christians in his day needed God's grace and God's peace for what they were facing. Their dispersion through the world. They're being scattered. And so Peter is asking God to give us exactly what we need. So in the form of a prayer, Peter is saying to us, "May everything good from God be yours. Be multiplied in full measure. Nothing held back, nothing lacking." That's what he's praying for. And so because we are God's children, who God loves, that means we have been specially targeted for multiplied goodness from God. And when God gives us His grace and when God gives us His peace, it settles us down. It calms us. And God knows we need that right now. And He's giving that to us right now. In times of fear, in times of anxiety, in times of uncertainty, listen, God draws near to us. And He gives us the grace to strengthen us and the peace to calm us. And let's just hearing that, that ought to part the clouds for us. That God's smile is shining down on us like the sun and giving us all that we need. His face is shining on us. And so we may be scattered, but we're not forgotten. And we are being formed by God into a God-pleasing life. God is working in us through this. Let's let Him. Let's cooperate with Him. And let's move toward Him. And we are being given the special grace, the special peace that we need for this particular trial. God always gives us what we need. And so let's give Him thanks. And let's receive what God is giving us. Let's pray for that now. Heavenly Father, thank You that You set Your eye upon us, just like You do the sparrow. You're watching us. You know us. You know everything we're feeling, everything we're experiencing. You know the temptations we're facing. You know the weakness that we feel and that we have, and You know what we need. So, Father, I thank You that even just in these opening words of 1 Peter, that we find such encouragement, reminders of who we are to You, Your children, Your chosen, loved children, to whom You are so generous. And, Father, I pray now that You would open our hearts to receive from You what You're giving us, both grace and peace, and that, God, You would give it in multiplied measure to Your people, to us. And God, also, that You, through this, in giving us what we need, you would also make us into what we are meant to be, what you intend us to be. Would you shape us, form us, sculpt us into your image? Would you purge us from our sins, change our lives, our thinking, our motives, our habits, even the choices of our will? Change our behavior and the way we speak. Lord, give us love for one another as we are in close quarters, and give us love for those who are far away from us, we can only communicate with electronically. Lord, give us trust instead of fear, hope instead of despair. And Lord, lead us in your ways. And so, Father, we entrust ourselves to you now. We ask that you would work for us and that you would work in us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.